The Springboks' era of dominance is over. Russie Erasmus must go. If you're a South African rugby fan, you've heard these claims before, especially in the last few days. And in this episode, I'm going to reveal why they're not just wrong, but why they completely miss the bigger picture. I'm also going to tell you why, despite what you may have seen, there is no need to panic. At least not yet. So let's call a spade, guys. In 2025 so far, the Springboks have played 5 tests and an additional match against the Barbarians. We have won 4 of those tests and we beat the Barbars too. Most international teams would be satisfied with that. But we do hold very high standards in South Africa. Some would say impossibly high standards. But then, we are a special rugby nation, aren't we? We have won the Rugby World Cup more times than anyone else. And along with New Zealand, have traditionally been the global rugby powerhouses. You can't blame us for expecting to win every match we play. Of course, we're all fully aware that we can't actually do that. The All Blacks have a historical win record of 77%. South Africa's is 64%. Everyone else is in the mid-50s or worse. Is there a sense of entitlement? Sure. Is there an element of arrogance? I think sometimes, yes. But that's also the beauty of elite high-performance sport. And for us, and the Kiwis, and certainly the Argentines and the Welsh, I would say, and a few others, it's also tribal. When the Springboks run onto the field, they are us, and we are them. They are defending our country. They are defending our flag. They are defending our honour. And when they win, it makes everyone's day and even week so much better. When they lose, it can ruin the mood, quite badly at times. And we're actually at a point now where it's not just whether or not South Africa won, but how the South Africans played. Because even when we win, we might still not be satisfied with the performance. You may have noticed in the last couple of days. And that is at the heart of the matter right now. Yes, we beat Italy twice, we eased past Georgia as expected, but then came the ultimate gut punch. The Wallabies fed off our own worst mistakes and humiliated us at Ellis Park. And let me be clear, it's not their fault that we were our own worst enemy. They were ruthless. And then, we overcame them in Cape Town in what was frankly a somewhat solid but largely unconvincing display. It was a victory, but it felt hollow, didn't it? It was a win, but it left us with more questions than answers. So what is the problem, a lot of people are asking? Yes, our defence is problematic right now. Personally, I think it's a transitional issue. So we've so focused on this Tony Ball attacking stuff that we've almost forgotten our defensive duties, and perhaps transitioning from attack, think turnover ball, transitioning quickly into a defensive setup, that I think is one of the places where something is going wrong for us right now. No doubt our lineouts are a mess. We're getting killed at the breakdown. A lot of players are making a lot of mistakes. And for some reason, we're not mauling, which is incomprehensible to me. But what if there's a secret, unspoken reason for all of this? I have a strong suspicion that internally, they have had their eye on one thing and one thing only all year. So let me break it down for you one by one. Firstly, Dr. Russie Erasmus's strategy of building depth is a double-edged sword. It means lots of players being part of a heavy rotation system. So what you get is players gaining caps and building experience, but you sacrifice continuity. If it works in the intended manner, Doc will have at least 3 players for every position come the 2027 Rugby World Cup. And each of those players will be intimately familiar with our structures and systems. But as I say, in order to get there, Edwill van der Merwe has to get game time at wing. Or Morne van den Berg has to play at scrum half. Or Buan Venter has to play at loosehead. And it's going to be at the expense of Cheslin Kolbe, Grant Williams, and Oxen Chair, respectively. That's the trade-off, isn't it? The other thing that Doc is trying to change is the way we play. Now, let me be clear on this. I support the idea of adding a string to our bow. I don't support the idea of us abandoning what historically works for us. So if we can become a team that attacks with greater fluidity, then I'm all for that. But I still want to see us scrumming and mauling and tackling ferociously. And so now you have two things going on at the same time. One, you have a team that is getting used to a new system, especially on the attacking side of things. And two, you actually have three teams trying to get used to this new system at the same time. Remember, if you've got three players in each position, that's 45 players. We've actually been using 50, 52, 55. So we've got three teams, right? And so by my estimation, it is going to take 2 to 3 times longer for our squad to fully master what the coaches are asking of them. So we do need to be patient here, guys. The other thing I want to say is that I have a strong suspicion that internally, the players and the coaching staff failed to appreciate the threat posed by Australia. Whatever that was, arrogance, complacency, or an oversight, I'll leave that to you to decide. My take is that internally, they always believed that they'd beat Italy, Georgia, and Australia, regardless of what team they put out. And so, these first 5 tests of the year were about gaining caps, building depth, and adding to the overall experience within the camp. You might even say that for certain players, especially the newer ones, experiencing what it feels like to lose a test match, especially one that you were expected to win, rightly or wrongly, that's actually a good thing. Because you don't want to feel that again, right? And so to that end, you could forgive average or below average displays against the Italians and even the Wallabies. Except the Aussies went and humbled us in Johannesburg, didn't they? And all of a sudden, we had a problem. Because now, those lethargic performances were being highlighted. What is the problem? Why are certain players looking so tired? Or even old? Or even not up to international standard? Some have said the players aren't fit enough. I don't know if I believe that. But I do think something is not quite right in our camp. Again, my best guess is that ever since the fixtures were announced, we looked at those 2 tests against the All Blacks in New Zealand and licked our lips. Especially because one of those is at Eden Park. The Kiwis haven't lost there since 1994. It's been 50 tests without a defeat at the famous Auckland venue. We are the world champions. We hold every trophy available to us. The Rugby Championship, Freedom Cup, Mandela Plate, Qatar Airways Cup, and of course the Webb Ellis Cup. And the only thing this team has not done is beat the All Blacks in their own backyard, specifically Eden Park. And so I think our focus has been on that. That is the one that was identified at the start of the year as the big one for the year. And so even if only subconsciously, that's the contest where the real focus has been. Now, if we go there and pull off the win, and to be clear, we don't win, or if we don't win at Eden Park, but we do emerge victorious in Wellington, it will still be seen as a success. And if we do that, then the Azzurri, Georgia, and Aussie matches will be largely forgotten. But if we lose both tests in the land of the long white cloud, then there are going to be even more questions. I watched how the New Zealanders were beaten in Buenos Aires by Argentina on Saturday night. And I won't lie, they are not the superhuman team they were in the 2010s. That should give us hope. They're also a team with some obvious weaknesses, which we, when at our best, are perfectly set up to exploit. And so despite the unimpressive performances the Springboks have delivered so far in 2025, I genuinely believe they've been waiting for these 2 tests in New Zealand. We are going to see a considerably better showing from the Boks against the old enemy. And it is for this reason that I am saying I don't think we need to be panicking. And with that, I leave it to you to decide. Do you agree that the Springboks have had one eye on the All Blacks all year? Or do you think it's the end of the line for a lot of these players? Let me know in the comments section down below. And while you're down there, may I also encourage you to sign up on my Patreon page. I would love to do this full time, guys, and go to Australia and cover the Rugby World Cup in 2027 for you from down under with daily coverage. If you sign up, you can get your name mentioned in my videos. You can get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched merchandise store. You can stand a chance to win the new Springbok jersey released a few months ago. You can also stand a chance to win the soon-to-be-released James Small biography. You might also be able to have quarterly Zoom calls with me where we discuss Springbok players, matches and tactics, and you might even be able to get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite player. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US dollars, not Zim dollars. And if that sounds like something you want to be a part of, then head on over to my Patreon page and sign up right now. The link is in the description area below. And I'll see you next time.